Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, that's they're supposed to be playing a fabulous song, She's Incredible, by my special guest, Keith Chagall, but technology seems to be interrupted. But hello, everyone. It's all about love in the afternoon today. It's Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It is Thursday, February 10th, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we love to hear from you, so please call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Or you can also email me at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. That's goodvibe, V-I-B-E, goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. And we'll get back to listening to some of my guest's music a little bit later on, but I do want to introduce my guest today, who is back by popular demand because he was such a big hit the last time I had him on the show that it's what the fans want, and I always listen to my fans because they know. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest today, but before I do, I just want to make a quick check that you're all wearing your dancing shoes, because we're going to be getting down and dirty on the dance floor. So here we go. Keith Chagall is a singer-songwriter whose music encompasses influences as diverse as his own multi-ethnic background. Keith is a native Colombian and plays flamenco-influenced guitar instrumentals and sophisticated rock songs that blend jazz riffs, world beat, and compelling vocals into unabashedly, I love that word, pop songs. And Keith has performed at numerous clubs and concert venues nationwide, and we are thrilled to have him back with us today. So please give a warm welcome back to Keith Chagall.
Good afternoon, Lauren. Good afternoon, all you wonderful listeners out there.
Good afternoon to you, my dear friend, and welcome back. It's so nice to have you back live with us.
So great to see you. New day, new year, new time, new hope.
And new love, new music.
New love, new music. And it seems like things are moving in the right direction. Pretty historic times we're living in today, huh, Lauren?
Well, that's very true. I always think times like these, they're filled with opportunity. And I think what I try to help my viewers see is that there is opportunity. It's about changing your attitude about certain things and how you see the world, and your music definitely reflects that type of attitude. It's just hopefully, let me see if we can just get a little bit of a sampling of your music online. And
okay.
Let's try again so that our listeners can get an idea of...
Hopefully our engineers have it the right one.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Let's give it a listen.
That's a clean recording.
That is a clean recording. Do you like it? It's so clean.
It's so clean. I couldn't
it's
hear.
It's so clean.
I
you can't
hear
anything. You can't hear anything. Well, we'll try to get that repaired,
right.
And we'll come back to that music. You were on my show, I don't know, maybe a few months ago, but I noticed that you wrote a theme song for another show called Night Views Radio. How did that come about?
Well, I didn't really write a song. I adapted the one that was already on the album.
That's
it made
easy.
It a little bit easy. I changed the lyrics. Sinatra used to do that with Happy Birthdays and Taylor Make. They'd give him lyrics to well-known songs, and he would record them as a gift to people. So I kind of did that with a news radio show that's on CBS Radio, talk radio. And we changed the lyrics to Only for a Day, which is on the album, closes the album.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
Yeah, it sounded pretty good.
Well, you know, let's get back to something just a little bit more serious for a moment, if we may. We were just talking briefly before we went live about the young songwriters of today and the influence that technology has on their songwriting ability, that texting has influenced the new songwriters.
Yep.
What's that all about?
There's a new study out. There's a documentary out right now on one of the big cable Showtime, HBO, and it basically has done a 10-year study about the emerging technologies and how they're affecting students and young people in the way they're learning and formulating ideas. And I think the idea was that back before there was texting, there was more time to think and see the big picture. And today, kids are so inundated with texting that they only think in little short bursts of thought. And when college students were doing thesis papers for their doctorates and their grades, they would do them in bursts of one paragraph at a time. And they were brilliant paragraphs if you looked at them just individually. But when the student read all the paragraphs together to be part of the whole, it wasn't a connection at all. And they're finding out that multitasking is not really the most efficient use of your time. You might be able to do a lot of things mediocre, but not one thing really good at each task. And I think the idea of this album was to give people a chance to just decompress and listen and have the feeling of just thinking about what's around you and being. And so for 48, 50 minutes, you can just feel a wave of the big picture. And I think that it would behoove the young people today to study more about their influences, the Beatles and Elvis and, Cole Porter and George Gershwin. And they're basically saying that because of the technology today, that kids are having a shorter attention span, a shorter sense of historical context, a shorter sense of looking at the big picture, and they're thinking in verse, which is maybe not the best way to express oneself artistically.
So what would you suggest to these up-and-coming songwriters? How do you write music that can influence these
young
people?
It's so subjective, Lauren, but I truly think sometimes you just got to turn off the cell phones, turn off the TV, turn off the computer, except when you're recording and hard disk recording, because it's the only way to record. But you basically turn everything off and you get in touch with yourself, turn off the white noise, go to the beach, go to the mountains, take a long drive, don't have the radio on, just be clear with your thoughts, and you'd be amazed at how much you can see about what's going on and how things are moving, and suddenly a nice creative thought may come in that may be a beautiful painting or a new Broadway show or a song. And I think that's what's missing.
I think you're so true, but I also maybe feel that perhaps it's a little too unnerving for some people to sit quietly. The hesitancy,
turn off,
the fear,
please.
of that
connecting.
Maybe young people need to know what's happening every minute, in a sense, the texting, they're not open to not knowing.
Not knowing and thinking that they need to be connected to this giant Borg thing. The Borg was a metaphor that they used in Star Trek for this big technological race that you had to be plugged into the main thing, like the Matrix, And you really don't. It would be more beneficial to them if they just sat with a friend and just spoke with them for a half hour. I mean, we're talking about connecting. You see what I'm saying?
But I think that the younger generation feels that is connecting. That's what
right.
They feel is connecting. When you look at Facebook and everybody's on a wall, for me,
right.
That doesn't seem very personal, doesn't
no.
it?
No. Well, they are connected in one sense, but in another sense, there's so much of it, it's sensory overload that you can't really get in touch with your human nature to be creative. And there's so much information coming at you that you don't have time to just formulate a thought. And that's what all the research is now showing. It's very interesting because at first it's, this is great, all the new gadgets. But after a while, if you're always inundated and controlled by them, I know people that can't even eat without texting.
Really?
It's just that they just can't be away from it. And what are they really being? They're not really connecting with the person. But that's what the music is about, to take them out of the technological mode for a minute. And I don't know, I think it'd be better if we all took time out a little bit and just decompressed, even if it's an hour a day,
I completely agree with you.
Right.
And I mentioned in the intro that you are Colombian, and so your Latin influences or your Latin upbringing has influenced your music. What else has influenced your music?
Oh, I love Middle Eastern rhythms. I love Indian music. There's certain parts of it just so gorgeous. I love anything that was done really great, whether it was Mozart or Chopin. I'm very influenced by Brian Wilson. I'm profoundly changed in the way I write music by Burt Bacharach, Lennon and McCartney, and you know, those great songwriters that really had the gold standard. And
why was it so profound? What happened?
Well, it's just that you never really heard music like that. Well, the first time you hear Rhapsody in Blue, and it hits you like an epiphany. I mean, it does for some people. At least it did for me. And there's all sorts of great music out there. And I think the idea was to try to find your own voice, but try to aspire to a higher excellence, so that you could do something that people could listen to over and over without getting tired of it. And I think that was my main focus when I got into this. And so all those influences are part of me. So it's kind of like an embroidered sound.
Yes, and I have been very fortunate to hear you in person. And your music, you just can't help but move. It infiltrates my body. You just can't help but move because you're passionate about it. You feel it. So if you feel it and put all this love and passion and feeling into what you're playing, then your listener experiences it as well. And it's communicating through music, just an instrumental or even a vocal. It's magical. You have a unique quality that not everyone has, and it's about trust too, that you let go of a certain expectation of how your music should be, and you trust that it'll be what it should be or supposed to be.
That's so sweet of you to say. You know, I have my alter ego is Fernando. If Fernando loves to infiltrate your body, my darling. He loves to infiltrate the listeners, yes. So that's a beautiful thought. I never really looked at it that way, but you obviously have had a good time to listen to it as a piece of a piece in its entirety. And I'm very honored to agree with you that sometimes you have to let go and just let the muse take you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I know I've often asked this question to other guests about if you're in a particular mood. If I've had a female guest, do you dress for that mood or do you dress to be in a better mood? And I guess the same thing is with music. If you are in a blue mood, do you play music that relates to that music mood you're in, or do you want to lift your mood? And I always find that I use music to lift my spirits, to
beautiful.
Make me dance.
Yeah,
yeah.
Me
and it,
yep.
and it
yep.
does.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And your music does. So I want to throw out the name Al Kasha, because he has co-wrote some of the songs on your invitation CD. And so what was it like working with him?
Well, he's a two-time Academy Award winner, as you know, and the only singer-songwriter in the history of the Academy Award Oscars to win 2 years in a row for the best song. And so he had heard some of the music that I was writing from an instrumental point of view, and he came up to say, hey, kid, one day I was doing an outdoor show, and he said, hey, kid, if you ever want to put some lyrics to this, give me a call. So we got together, and it was an amazing evening. I said, you know, I'm trying to give young people a real feeling for Cole Porter-type lyrics, Gershwin, stuff like before even our parents were born, that we could, like, bring the romance dialogue back between men and women. I think it's so difficult when they're texting, there's that word again, and you really don't feel what the person's really feeling because you can't hear their voice and their laughter and their inflection. But I want it to sound modern, and so that's what we were able to accomplish. I mean, it's up to the listeners to decide eventually, but we tried to pick beautiful phrases that were just poetic, but they sounded good, and it wasn't short bursts of Umbrella, Ella, Ella, Ella. You know, I think people are a little
wah,
smart.
Wah, 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 wah.
And I love Rihanna. I'm just saying it's cute for, like, that song, but, I mean, I wanted to put some real substance in there, you know?
Absolutely.
At a time when people should be thinking of those things, don't you think?
Well, and here's my question to you. Which came first, the lyrics
or
the music?
The music came first. The music always came first. And then I would come up with a definitive melody. I usually play with the rhythms and the melody. And when I'm really happy with the way the melody feels and the verses and the bridges and the choruses, and then I start to formulate the kind of lyrics, what I want to say, and the kind of vowels and phrasing that I want to use so that the words can sing as well.
That's great. You know what? Let's try. I get a nod from my technician that we might get a thumbs up. Let's give a listen to one of your Latin pieces called Bolero de Chagall. Let's see if we can get a little music.
Fernando loves this song, my love.
Just
love
for Fernando.
you would be on the desk doing the tango, my love.
Oh, my God, my feet are dancing. That's amazing.
I love it. I love it.
Now, you're playing a flamenco guitar or a flamenco-like instrumental. What was the inspiration for this song?
Well, all the songs were Latin tropical, and I hadn't really touched upon the Mexican southwestern type of feeling. And one of my favorite musical guys that wrote these southwestern Mexican beautiful opuses was a guy named Ennio Morricone, who did the Clint Eastwood movies, Fistful of Dollar, you know, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And so I wanted to put a song on the album that would make you feel like you're driving out in the desert there with those beautiful Arizona mountains, and there's a bit of Clint Eastwood in there. I kind of like it.
I felt that I had my chaps on and my holster on, and I'm ready to meet my destiny out in the desert.
Oh, that's great. If he would have played another minute, he would have heard the theme. That was the longest intro. It's the longest track on the album, but it's a beautiful instrumental that's for dancing and, you know, late at night and having the rose in your mouth, you know.
Actually, the instrumental was so crisp and pristine that for a moment I visualized the flamenco, the gentleman, the special shoes that the male dancer wears, the black boots with the three-inch solid heel, and his castanets. I thought, here he comes. He's about to seduce the woman.
I almost put castanets in there. You are so funny. That is so true. But I didn't want to get too kitschy, or they would think, oh, you know, it's trying to be cute. But there are timpanis in there, but definitely I could see it as well.
Yes, but
great.
I like your blend. You know, I think you have that solo instrumental, and then when, I don't know what you would call that next segment of the music, where it sounds a little technical, where you, I don't know what the term is, but it's beautiful how you've blended different sounds to make it
your own. Yeah, there's an orchestra there, and then an electric guitar comes in, and it's still the intro, but it's a very kind of swirly thing, and then the Spanish guitar takes over. So you'll really love it because it takes you on a journey. It really takes you somewhere. And that's what we want to do. I'm really thankful that the people that have been on this album, they're so amazing, Lauren. The drummer and the bass player are a father and son named Abraham Laboriel Jr. and Sr. And Jr. is the wonderful, amazing, world-famous drummer for Sir Paul McCartney for the last 10 years. He's just like Keith Moon was. I mean, just the most amazing drummer. And, I mean, to have him on the album with his father, who's like a legendary bass player, is a real honor. So we got some really cool people on the record, and I was very fortunate that Al Kasher wrote lyrics with me. We had a great horn section put together by Lee Thornburg, who's a very well-respected trumpet and arranger for Chicago and many other world-class groups that he tours with, Rod Stewart, all over the country, all over the world. And so I think it's a record that people will like year in, year out, every time they want to feel like they're on vacation.
What would you like your listeners to take away from listening to your music?
Just to be able to relax and to be able to take a moment to decompress and just, you know, unplug, so to speak, and recharge. I think that's the most important thing we can do if we are going to stay on top of this technological curve, which, you know, seems unsustainable in some ways, and in other ways maybe not. You have to recharge and feel those special times when you can just go out there and enjoy the sunset. Last night I was on Santa Monica near Wilshire by the Fairmont Miramar, the beautiful hotel on the ocean. Are you familiar with it, Lauren?
I am indeed.
It was such a crystal blue day for all you listeners not in California, and the sunset was spectacular. I was just getting ready to go to an event there, but I got out of the car a little earlier, and I walked across the street to where the ocean thing was and saw the sun go down. It was just amazing. It happened so fast, you would miss it. But the majesty of it and just spending a moment just to be, you know? I mean, that's what the album I want people to get. Be with your lover, be with your friend.
We are spoiled by living on this beautiful west coast of the United States with having this ocean and the spectacular sun rises and sunsets, and you can almost hear your music in your head watching.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe they have Summer of Our Lives, if that is up there, and that has a brand new horn part by Lee Thornburg. So if the engineer wants to play that for a couple
minutes,
whenever you want.
I do have Diamonds of Hope. Give a little, let's play Diamonds of Hope, and then you'll tell our listeners a little bit about it. Here's Diamonds of Hope.
Yeah, give it a couple minutes. There you go.
You know, Keith, I want you to describe what's behind Diamonds of Hope, but Valentine's Day is coming up, and I just thought that's the perfect song to serenade your loved one with, isn't it?
Absolutely.
To set the mood?
Absolutely. You put this on a Valentine's Day night, and you guys, you're in. You're in. Trust me. The story behind that was a beautiful lady from Beverly Hills social stratus named Hope Warner, who had seen me at a concert and was recounting to me a story of her and her late husband walking down the roads of this beautiful little town in Spain and hearing these beautiful Spanish guitar maestros playing for them. It was just an unforgettable moment for them that whole evening. They did a concert outside for all the people. You can see it. You can see it, the hillside, the water, the whole bit. And I had written this song, but I had called it Tropical Showers. I hadn't had a real name for it. Colors, I think I called it. But when, after she told me the story, I was really transported to that moment that she described, and I said, you know, I'm going to call this song Diamonds of Hope, because your name is Hope, and this thought is like a diamond. It should last forever, you know. So she was very moved.
It's just beautiful. It really is beautiful. And let's tell our listeners where they can purchase some of your music. They can go to iTunes.com.
Yes, CD Baby, iTunes, CD Baby, Rhapsody. There's lots of places. Just type in KeithCheval.com. We've got several albums out there. This one is called Invitation, and iTunes has it. We're going to be doing a very strong campaign this year for the album. We figured, you know, with all the economic uncertainty last year, it was probably a good thing just to see if people liked the album initially. You were one of the first ones to premiere it in the whole world, and we've been getting much the same reaction, so we thought we would wait until summer starts to get coming here and do what we can do to get people to hear it, and whether it's in a commercial or a movie or a product.
Does this mean you're going to go on tour and do some live performances?
We are. On March 14th, we're going to premiere this album at a beautiful jazz club called Typhoon, and it is at Santa Monica Airport, Little Santa Monica Airport, right off the runway, so people can not only have wonderful Asian fare to eat, but listen to great jazz. I'm going to have my full eight-piece band there that night. It's a Monday night, and we're putting together festival appearances and everything for wine tasting and all sorts of festivals that we want to do that we think the record would fit. Lifestyle approaches. We're also going to be going to radio. I think Diamonds of Hope may be the first single. And just give people a sense of what we're about, kind of like a 21st century Latino Jimmy Buffett, you know, that's bilingual. You know, and if we could be half as successful as Jimmy Buffett, I would be thrilled, because this guy has businesses in every state of the union and is one of the great businessmen who was able to brand himself. So, you know, there's not a lot of people in that field, Jack Johnson, a few others, but, you know, Fernando has his own style with Keith Chagall. So I think, you know, we'll be able to hold our own.
I think you will. I really do. I think you will. The album is wonderful. I wish you much success with your album. And let's give out contact information, because you also do personal gigs. So if people are having...
Oh, yeah.
And I guess you will travel. So our listeners out of California, feel free to contact Keith Chagall at keithchagall.com, and that's K-E-I-T-H-C-H-A-G-A-L-L.
Info at Keith Chagall.
Oh, info at Keith Chagall, K-E-I-T-H-C-H-A-G-A-L-L.com. But
just
your
like
website.
Just like the painter, yes.
Yeah, just like the painter. That's right. But you do paint a beautiful story through your music. And you can,
well,
you
yes,
can,
we do.
You do. You do. You have to just say that about yourself, because you do. It's
well,
true.
I have to admit it. When I look back on it now, everyone that's worked on it, they put their heart and soul into it. I'm just blessed. We do a lot of events. We just did a wonderful event for one of my favorite screenwriters. I know you know him pretty good too, Mr. Aaron Sorkin, who did the Social Network.
Yes.
He wrote the screenplay and, of course, did the L.A. Law. I mean. What was the White House one with
West Wing.
Mark Cheney?
West Wing.
That was his series, too. Just a brilliant writer. I was able to do the music for him. We did events for Jeremy Piven. We did events for Billy Crystal. And we're going to get ready to go out there and play this for the people, and we're excited.
Excellent. Well, you know what? We just have about a minute left, and I want to leave our viewers with another. We'll go back to a little Bolero de Chagall. Keith, thank you so much for coming back and sharing your love and your passion for music. It is spectacular to hear your creativity. It really moves me, and I'm sure it's moved our listeners as well. So thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And again,
it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to, again, contact Keith, that's info at keithchagall.com, K-E-I-T-H-C-H-A-G-A-L-L, info at keithchagall.com, and his website, keithchagall.com. And let us leave you with one of Keith's beautiful tunes, Bolero de Chagall. Okay, Fernando, we're going out with
Thank
Fernando.
You. I love you, my love. Thank you, my darling.
Thank you, Fernando. Or maybe not. Maybe not. Fernando, maybe we'll try.
These are very clean recordings.
I know. Not. Let's try It's Incredible again. I have to speak to my engineer. This is not...
It was also Summer of Our Lives.
Some of Our Lives, yes. But let's go. We'll do Diamonds of Hope. I'm telling you, technology today, this is why it's...
Better to